So today I have a Christmas message that I hope is going to help us understand that no matter where we are, no matter what we're facing, we can face it with hope and love and peace and joy. And I'm excited today. And so I've titled my message, A Change of Plans. And, today what I wanted to do is I just want to read a few verses and kind of expand our thinking upon the verses that we can read in Matthew chapter 1. So if you have your Bibles and you want to go ahead and turn there, go ahead. But today I'm just going to give you one big thought, okay? One big thought that I hope that you'll remember. And if you're like me this morning, maybe you're facing something that you didn't plan. Something that's going just a little bit different than maybe you thought that it would, and you've had what I call a change of plans. And I'm curious, how many of you are just natural planners? Raise your hand. Like if you've already had your Christmas shopping done by the end of July, you're a planner, okay? If you haven't even started your Christmas list, you may not be a planner, I'm just saying. Oh, goodness. But whether you're a planner or not, whenever life goes in a different direction than you had planned, it can be a little bit nerve-wracking at times, can it? And I know that many of you, that you're facing something that you didn't plan. And it hurts me how many people I know that are out job hunting in this season of their life, and it's not something that they ever planned on doing at this time in their life. And I know that there are people that are facing a medical battle at this point in their life, and it's not something that you ever thought that you would have to face. And unfortunately, as we go into Christmas time, which is supposed to be the best time of the year, and you're thinking, I didn't plan on my marriage being so tough. And I think there's many of you that thought that there would be someone with you this Christmas season, and they're not there, and you kind of have that symbolic empty chair, and you're thinking, this is not what I had planned. And again, whenever we face things like that, that we didn't plan for, it can really shake your faith, and you start to wonder, God, why? Where are you? And why are you allowing this to happen to me? And God, this is not what I had planned. And so many of us today, I feel that we're there. And so today, what I want us to do is I want us to look at some verses in Matthew chapter 1. And I want to talk to you about the mother and father of Jesus, his physical father and mother. And their names were Mary and Joseph. And if you're not familiar with the Bible and you want to read more about the birth of Jesus, you can do that if you'll turn to the book of Matthew chapter 1 or Luke chapters 1 and 2. So if you want to read those, go to Matthew 1 or Luke chapter 1 and 2. And what you're going to find there is you're going to find that there are several paragraphs describing what took place over several months. And so if you think about it, we know a little bit, but there are so many things that happened in this story that we don't really know, right? For example, if I were to ask you to summarize the past year of your life with three paragraphs, well, you would hit the high points, and there would be detail after detail after detail, though, that were not in those high points. And so today I want to do something that I used to do in kids' church a lot. And so I've asked Pastor Zach and Sister Savannah to come up and help me today. I used to tell stories in kids' church, and I would have the kids come up and act it out. And so today, Zach and Savannah, they're going to do that. And so... But what I want to do in this story today, okay, I just want to preface this, is that I want us to imagine together some of the details that we don't really know. We don't have access to them. But we know that something like this probably had to happen. Does that make sense to you? For example, how did Mary meet Joseph? How did they meet? You see, that's not recorded in the Gospels, but we know that they had to meet somehow, right? They had to meet somehow. And so what I want to do is kind of make up a story and read between the lines. And please hear me one more time. Understand, this is not exactly what happened, that we don't know, okay? All right? But if you'll use your imagination with me this morning, I believe that it went something like this. So I want us to pretend that it's a Wednesday night, and here's Mary, and she loves God and with all of her heart, and she's just this teenage girl. Look how young she is, you know. and she loves God with all of her heart. So she decides, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go to synagogue this Wednesday, and I'm going to hear this new youth pastor. And so she comes in, and she sits down. She comes in and sits down, and here's this youth pastor. His name's Joey. Get it? Joseph, Joey. All right. And so here's Joey, and he's preaching. He's probably preaching from the book of Isaiah about the coming Messiah. And he's preaching. And here's Mary, and she's all googly-eyed, and her and her little friends, and they're all talking, and they're like, I'm trying to focus on God, but he's so cute, and he's so charismatic, and she's all like trying to pay attention, but she really can't. And so she finally gets through the service, and Mary goes over here with a group of her friends, and they're starting to talk after synagogue and church is over, and here comes Joey. And Joey comes in, and he sees her in the group, and so Joey comes over all slick and cool, and they start talking a little bit, and they kind of start, what's your name? Oh, I'm Mary. What's your name? I'm Joseph. Oh, can I call you Joey? Yeah, everybody calls me Joey. And so they're talking a little bit, and then when it's all over, they kind of part ways. So if you'll go over there, they kind of part ways, and they go home, and Mary is over here, and she's thinking, man, he sure was cute. He was, man, there was something about his face when he started preaching. He just got even cuter. And so she was all excited and everything. And she's thinking, I wonder if he's interested in me. And, oh, probably not. And in the meantime, Joey's over here, and he's praying about it. He's thinking, man, that sure was a beautiful girl. She was amazing, yeah. Woo. And so he's all excited, and he's praying, and he's thinking, man, you know what? This next week, man, this next synagogue, I'm going to ask her out. And so time comes, and old Joey gets out his cologne. He starts spraying it on, gives it those extra squirts, and he gets up his courage. He comes over, and he sees Mary, and they're just talking a little bit, and she's like, ooh, he smells good. Oh, we're having a lot of fun here today. And so they begin to talk and everything, and Joey gets up to confidence. He says, hey, would you go and have a cup of coffee with me? And so Mary's like, oh, I wonder if this is like a friend coffee thing or is this a date coffee thing? I don't know, you know. So they make their plans, and they decide they're going to go to the Holy Grounds coffee shop. So they go to the Holy Grounds coffee shop. And they're chatting it up, and they're getting to know a little bit about each other, one another, and all these things. And by the time that the coffee is empty, they decide, you know what? I want to see you again, Mary. And he said, will you go out with me again? And so they start this dating process, and they start seeing each other. And before you know it, Joey takes her to meet his mom and dad, and she meets them, and he meets her mom and dad. And before you know it, every love song that's on the radio is their song, you know? They're just like, I'm in love. And they're just, I mean, they're living it up. And so she's like, you know, there's something about this guy, Joey. He's got a job. He makes furniture. The last guy she dated, he still lived in mom and dad's basement, addicted to his video games. And he was, you know, he wasn't nothing. Joey has potential. And so she starts really enjoying their life. And so they start making some plans. And as they make these plans, I want to get to this little part right here. And so they start making their plans, and they have all this neat stuff. And eventually Joey goes, and she doesn't know this, but he's been saving up that furniture money. And he is going, and he's going to put a down payment on a rock, and he's going to ask her to marry him. And so they go on this date, and they're on this stroll, and they're going, and Joey's got his buddy with the new iPhone 16 with the extended lens waiting in the bushes over there. You're going to get that Instagram moment. And Joey gets down on one knee, and he says, Mary, would you marry me? And she's like, oh, I'm so excited. Yes. And she cries out, yes. Can you see it? Can you see it happening? All right. Give it up for our actors this morning. Thank y'all so much. Can you see it happening? You know, we don't know exactly what happened, but something kind of like that had to have happened. You know, and like all young couples crazy in love, they began to start making plans. They did the exact same thing that you did, that Shelly and I did. We started making plans for our future. And you know, they did this. We know that they had to have, but we don't know the details of their plan. But what we do know is that they did decide to before they got married, that they would save themselves for one another. They wouldn't have intimacy until they were married. We know that because Scripture tells us. And we know that about them. And I'm kind of reading into it. And you may know that they had other plans. Like they were probably deciding we're going to build a house. And maybe they were planning on, you know, let's go through financial Peace University and maybe get our budget together so that maybe Mary won't have to work when we have kids. And they're probably saying how many kids we want and making all kinds of plans. And then one day I want you to see that Mary is off by herself and she has one of the most holy encounters with God that she's ever had. An angel of the Lord appears to Mary and the angel tells her, he says, look, you've been chosen. You're going to give birth to a son. And she's like, oh, but haven't you heard? Joey and I, we're saving ourselves for one another. We're not married yet. And the angel says, no. What's going to happen is the Holy Spirit is going to come upon you and you'll be conceived by the child, by the Holy Spirit. And you can only imagine this young teenage girl. She loves God and she loves Joseph and she's getting married and her God has chosen them to be such a big part of history. And she's thinking to herself, I can't wait to tell Joseph. He's going to be so excited. God has chosen us. And so she goes and she tells Joseph she's pregnant. Let's take a vote. You think Joseph was excited? Or do you think Joseph was caught off guard? This is not what I had planned. Who is this Holy Spirit guy? I'm going to beat him up. You know, he was a real guy. He was a real man. And it hurt. And you know, I said they're real people. And we don't know exactly how it came about. But we do know that between verses 18 and 19 of Matthew chapter 1, that this is where the wheels fall off. This is where the wheels come off. Let's look at this, and we're reading between the lines, I know, but we don't know exactly what happened, but let's look at what we do know. Matthew 18, chapter 1 of Matthew, chapter 1, verse 18. Excuse me. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but, everybody say but. But before they came together, so we know that they had plans, right? But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. And so she goes off and she tells Joseph, hey, I'm pregnant through the Holy Spirit. And we don't know exactly how he responds, but for sure we do know that he gets really, really hurt and upset. And we see that in verse 19. Let's go there and read. We can see a little bit of Joseph's response. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. So what we do know is that Joseph was devastated. He was crushed. He was humiliated. He was brokenhearted. And if we read between the lines, we know that he had probably already put down that non-refundable deposit on the wedding chapel. The wedding invitations may have already gone out. And somehow he's going to have to tell mom and dad and his family that his fiance is pregnant and they're going to have to get a divorce. So he's just publicly humiliated. But worse than the public humiliation is the fact that he loves Mary. He loves her. And he trusted her. And I'm sure that he is like every one of us. We tell our spouse and our fiancés things that we've never told anyone else. And he believed that God had brought them together and he was saving himself for her. And now she's done this thing and he's half mad and he's half torn. He can't believe this. And if you'll notice that the scripture says that he planned to divorce her quietly. If you were paying real close attention there, you might say, wait a minute, I didn't think that they were married yet. Well, so why divorce? Well, back in this time in history, if you were engaged, the only way to get out of it was an actual official divorce. And culturally then, compared to now, divorce was much more serious and much more frowned upon. In fact, you're kind of almost pushed out of the community. And Joseph is like, man, I am trying to serve God, and now I'm going to be divorced. But let's think about it from Mary's perspective. Now, here's Mary, and she's thinking, you know, the angel of the Lord appeared to her. And according to Luke 1:38, she says, you know, Mary, he says, Mary, you're going to have this son. And Mary says this. She says, may it be done to me according to your word. You see, that's what she said. And if she were alive today, and if it would have been Savannah up here, she'd have been like, I love God with all my heart, and I'll do whatever he asked me to do. See, she said yes to what God asked her to do, and now her life is pretty much totally over. She's going to be pregnant without a husband. She's going to be divorced and a single mom, and she's in this culture, she's probably not going to be able to get a job that's going to be able to support her and the baby, so she's probably going to be begging for the rest of her life so that she can raise this kid. And you can only imagine the whispers that were going around. Oh, did you hear about Mary and Joseph? Oh, I think she cheated. And, oh, Joseph's fixing to divorce. And just on and on, the stories that could have gone on. And I mean, she probably feels like Joseph hates her, like her life is over. And you know what she was thinking? I believe she was thinking, God, this is not what I had planned. God, I said yes to you. I did everything you wanted me to do. And God, why are you allowing this to happen to me? God, this is not what I had planned, right? I believe that's probably what she was thinking. And this is exactly where some of you are this morning. This is not what you had planned. Maybe you're finally getting ahead financially, and this was going to be one of the best Christmases ever for the kids, and all of a sudden the car breaks down and it's going to cost hundreds of dollars to get it repaired, and you're like, God, this is not what I had planned. Or maybe you took a job that you knew was going to better your family and you were going to be able to be promoted, and you were, and then all of a sudden something happens at the company and they're downsizing, and you're the one that gets cut, and you're like, God, this is not what I had planned. Or maybe you thought that you would live happily ever after with him or her, and the happy's not there and neither is the ever after, and you're thinking, God, this is not what I had planned. God, where are you? And the list could go on and on. Like, God, I didn't plan on battling depression. God, I didn't plan on fighting cancer. God, I didn't plan on being homeless. God, what are you doing? This isn't what I had planned. And I told you at the beginning of my message that I was going to give you just one big thought. One truth to embrace, and this is for every one of you here this morning that you've had a change of plans, and if you're taking notes, I hope you'll write this down, but more importantly, what I want you to do is I want you to hide this truth into your heart, and here it is, right here, if you'll put it up there for me. You don't have to understand the plan. To trust God's purpose. I want to say that again. You don't have to understand the plan to trust that God has a purpose. In fact, in Proverbs 19:21, it tells us, it says, many are the plans in a person's heart, but it's the Lord's purpose that prevails. You see, you don't have to understand the plan to trust that God has a purpose. Mary and Joseph, man, I'm telling you, their plans were wrecked. They were shattered. And Joseph, he's determining, I have no choice but to divorce her. And so he considers that. And then we can see in verse 20, we can read this. Let's read this. says, but after he, talking about Joseph, okay? So, but after Joseph had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, I can only imagine, he's like, what do you mean? Everything she told me is true? And the angel's confirming it in this dream. In verse 21, it goes on and it says, and it shows us the purpose. Verse 21 says, she will give birth to a son, and you're to give him the name Jesus. Why? Because he will save his people from their sins. You can almost imagine Joseph, and he's saying, so God, what you're telling me is the last thing I ever wanted to happen is exactly what you wanted to happen. The last thing I wanted to happen is exactly what you wanted to happen? You mean there's a purpose in the middle of all my pain? And I could almost hear God whispering to Joseph. He's saying, Joseph, my thoughts are so much different than your thoughts. My ways are so much higher than your ways. And even though you don't know it, Joseph, I'm working all things for the good, to bring good to those who love me and are called according to my purpose. Sometimes God may even direct our plans when he has a different purpose. And I'm telling you, you don't have to understand the plan to trust that God has a purpose this morning. I want to share with you just a few things in my life, some plans that God changed. And maybe it'll help you look into your life and you can see some of the things where God changed. You know, when I was a little boy, I wanted to grow up, and we lived in a town called Borger, Texas, and really the only thing in Borger, Texas is the largest inland refinery in the world. Now, there's a lot on the coast bigger, but inland, that's where it's at. And my grandpa worked there. Four or five of my uncles worked there. Shelley's dad worked there and retired from there. I mean, if you lived in Borger, this was the place you wanted to work, you know, because these guys had great jobs. Man, they would go to work at 8 o'clock, and they'd get off at the exact same time every day. They knew what their life was going to be. They could go home, spend that time with their family. When they left work, they left work. They didn't bring it home. They just came home and relaxed and enjoyed their life with their family. And that's what I wanted to do when I grew up. I thought, man, I want to be like Grandpa. I want to do what he does. And so when I got a little bit older, me and my brother Mike, my brother, he was 2 years older than me, and we decided, hey, we're going to go to Phillips because they put out an ad, we're taking applications and we're testing. So we went and we took the test at the plant, and it was so weird to me because I was thinking, man, this test is easy. You know, if this gear is turning this way and there's a gear with there, which way is it going to turn? Well, it's going to turn this way. You know, and so it was just so simple, and I was like, man, that was great. And my brother, he was like, man, that was tough. And I was like, really? And he's like, yeah. Well, a few weeks later, we get our letters in the mail, and I scored somewhere in the high 90s, and my brother scored in the middle 70s. And they hired him, and they didn't hire me. I was like, God, what's going on? This is what I planned. I was going to work at Phillips. And so I didn't get that job, and then God gave me a job at UPS. And I became a UPS driver. And long story, you know, hitting the highlights here, I was an extended route driver. And so I had a lot of windshield time. And as Shelly and I was married and, you know, we're serving the Lord in our church and we're doing everything we know to do. And I would be driving. And all of a sudden, as I'm driving out in the country, I'd be preaching a whole message to myself. And I think, man, that's weird. And I'd go home and I'd tell Shelly about it. And I'd, what do you think that means? And I was trying to get her to tell me, maybe you're called into the ministry, you know, but she never would. You know, she just said, I don't know. And so as time went on, we realized that God was calling us into the ministry. And so I just didn't surrender. I didn't give in to what God is trying to change my plans. I kept thinking, UPS, UPS, this is what I got to do. I'm going to go to work, make my money, support my family, you know, and God had a different plan. I showed up to work one day and something had happened and the loaders weren't able to put all the packages in my truck. And so I get there and that package is all behind my truck and I'm just mad. I'm just, oh my goodness, you're kidding me. You know, because you have to get your next day air out by 10:30 or, you know, we have to pay for it and it'd go against me. And so anyhow, I'm just running in and out of the truck, and I'm putting packages in there, and I'm stuffing it. And I didn't realize that the dock was like this, and my truck was kind of at an angle. And as I was going in and out of that truck, I slipped off of the dock in between the truck and that bumper. And it hit me about right there. And I fell sideways, and the bottom of my leg stayed straight. And three surgeries later, I still couldn't go back to UPS because that's your clutch leg, you know? I couldn't push the clutch on the truck. So I had to lose my job at UPS. And as I did this, God started opening up doors at the church there in Borger, and I began to preach on every Wednesday night for Pastor Lawley, and I would just, you know, he just opened up doors, and I just think back to that, and I think, you know, what an amazing time how God took and he changed my plans. God, this is not what I had planned, but God, this is what your purpose, evidently. And so I'm glad that things didn't go according to my plan. I'm glad that every now and again, God interrupts my plans to bring about a different purpose. And even though in those times you don't understand it, you're confused by it, you don't like it, you're hurt in the middle of it, but years later, you can almost always look back and you might say, you know what? I would never choose it. I don't ever want to go through that again, but I can see how God used that. You see, you don't have to understand the plan to trust that God has a purpose. And this would have been so true for Mary and Joseph. Think about this. Mary's pregnant with the Son of God. And I'm sure they're thinking, you know, we're doing this for God. This is going to be easy. You know, this is going to go smooth, right? You know, heavenly epidural, and she's going to sneeze, and the baby comes out, and we're all happy. Everybody's healthy, you know. But no. That's not how it happened. That's not how it happened. Instead, we can see through Scripture that she's in labor. And ladies, do you know where she's at? She's on the back of a donkey. She's on a trip to be counted. And she's in labor. And Joey's in so much trouble. And so he's pulling this donkey along with Mary on it. And she's having contractions. And he's thinking, oh, Lord, let us get to town before she has this baby. And then they get to town, and Joseph finds out he's even in more trouble because he didn't make reservations, and there's no room in the inn. And so they're trying, there's no comfortable bed for Mary to get in and have this baby. And so, you know, she has this baby in the place that every one of you want to have it, ladies, right in a stable surrounded by farm animals, right? That's exactly your dream birth, right? And so she gives birth in a stable. And this is where she gives birth to not just any baby boy, but she gives birth to the Son of God. No epidural, no soft music. But now she's got this baby, and they're thinking, oh, life's going to be great, right? This, we did this for God. But then she finds out that King Herod's wanting to kill her baby. And she's going to have to flee and run to Egypt. And they're trying to go from here to there. And they're staying in houses. And they're like on run in the TV movies. You know, don't tell anybody we were here. And we got to get from here to there. And she had to be thinking, God, I said yes to you. I said yes to you. And now we're on the run. Fast forward 33 years. Mary, the mom that said yes, the one that said, may it be done unto me according to your word. God, you know I love you. I'll do whatever it is you ask me to do. Mary's standing there, and she's looking on at her son, and he's stripped down, and he's naked, and he's hanging on the cross, only supported by the nails that are in his wrist and in his feet. And his back is cut open so much that theologians believe that some of his internal organs were even exposed. And the only way that he can breathe is by pushing down on the spike and pulling up on these so that he can get enough breath to take another breath. And he's got this crown of thorns upon his head, and his face is bruised and beaten so bad that he doesn't even look like a human being anymore. And the mother who said yes is looking on. And it's not recorded, but I can only imagine. I can only imagine what she's thinking. God, this is not fair. He didn't do anything wrong. He actually did everything right. We did everything you asked us to do, God. Make it stop. I can hear her now. No mom should ever have to see that. No mom should have to face that. And what does Jesus do as they're spitting on him and they're yelling, "Hail, King of the Jews," and they're making fun of him, and they're saying, "You say you saved other people, save yourself." And they're just making fun of him. And Jesus, he looks up into heaven and he says, "Father, please forgive them, for they know not what they're doing." And here's Mary, and she's looking on at her son, who's righteous in every single way. And then he declares with all the faith and passion that he ever spoke with, through the pain and through the agony, he says, "It is finished." And then he breathes in one last breath. And he says, "Into my hands I commit my spirit." And boom. The earth goes dark and it begins to shake. And it's not recorded in the word, but I can only imagine. And I believe with all my heart something like this probably happened. Mary falls to her knees because she can't handle the weight of her grief. And she falls to her knees to the ground and she starts screaming and sobbing, "My baby. My baby." Can you imagine it this morning? You see, these are real people, and this is real agony. And I can only imagine they're saying, "This is not what I had planned." You see, Mary and Joseph had a plan, but God had a purpose. God had a purpose. And what was that purpose you asked? Let me tell you what that purpose was. That purpose was you. That purpose was you. Mary and Joseph had a plan, but God had a purpose. People say all the time, Jesus is the reason for the season, and he is the reason for the season. But if you ask God Almighty what the reason for the season is, I believe he would say the reason for the season is you. It's you. You are the reason that Jesus came. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. You see, for God so loved you that he gave his one and only son, and he came down and became one of us. You see, you can't make up the Christmas story. You can't make this stuff up. Man had a plan of how the Messiah would come, but God had a purpose. He had a purpose that he would be stripped of his righteousness to become a person just like you and I, the Son of God, Jesus, who is born of a virgin. Why does it matter that it was a virgin? It's because he didn't inherit the sin nature from an earthly father, but instead he had the divine nature from his heavenly father. And therefore he could be perfect in every way, never sinning and dying on the cross. And that is why he came. The purpose was you and for me. Mary and Joseph had a plan, but God had a purpose, and you were that purpose. And you know, it was right there in Scripture, and yet so many of us, we miss it. It's there in verse 21. I want to read it again. It says, "Mary will give birth to a son, and you were to give him the name Jesus." Why? Because Jesus will save his people from their sins. And so if you're one of those this morning who've had a change of plans, can you start that music back up, please? If you're here this morning and you're one that has had a change of plans, and maybe right now things are very, very difficult, and I'm not going to tell you for one moment that your pain isn't real, because it is. Sometimes it hurts. Sometimes we just don't understand. And sometimes we ache. And sometimes we just want to cry out, God, this is not what I had planned. I'm going to tell you right now, it's because of the goodness of God. Because of His sovereignty and because of who He is, you don't have to understand the plan to trust that God has a purpose. Many are the plans in a man's heart, but it's the Lord's purpose that prevails. In this Christmas season, as we talk about the birth of Jesus, please understand that Mary and Joseph, they were just people like you and me who had a plan, but thank God He had a purpose, and His purpose was you. If you will, stand with me this morning. If you will, just close your eyes right where you're at. Just begin to focus on God this morning and on what He might be saying to you through the Holy Spirit. Father, I pray for those who are here today and they're hurting, they're confused and grieving. I pray, God, that they would put their faith in You and that they would recognize, God, that You have a greater purpose than anything that they could ever imagine. It's bigger than anything they could imagine. And Father, I pray this morning that we would trust You. And you know, as you continue to pray and no one's looking around, I just want to tell you that we've all sinned. And that sin, what it does is it separates us from God. And that's why the Christmas story matters. You see, the story of Jesus is called the gospel. And the word gospel means good news. And this is the good news this morning, that God has a purpose. God loves you so much this morning that He sent His Son Jesus to die for you, who was born and lived without sin so that He could become that perfect sacrifice for you and me upon that cross. He died for our sins. And I want to tell you that He arose on that third day and the stone was rolled away. It wasn't there because Jesus rose from the dead. Why? Because God had a purpose. So anyone, and that includes you, no matter who you are, no matter what you've done, no matter how dark your life has been, anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved and forgiven. And there are many of you who had a plan, but you recognize, oh my goodness, I think maybe I may be a part of a bigger purpose this morning. I'm supposed to be here because God wants me. He wants all of me this morning. He wants all of us, every bit of us. And you have a choice, just like Mary this morning. You have a choice. Mary said, "May it be done unto me according to Your word." You have the choice this morning to say, "Yes, I give You my life this morning, Jesus. Yes, I want Your will in my life this morning." And those of you who recognize that you need His grace this morning, you need His salvation. You hear this morning, you say, "I need Your forgiveness, Jesus." Well, I want us to pray together, and I want everybody to pray with me. And we're going to ask Jesus into your heart. I want the prayer team, if you will, if you'll come down and be ready to pray. Here in a moment, after we pray this sinner's prayer, I just believe in my heart there's people here that you're in a season and you're saying, "God, this is not what I had planned. I need to know Your purpose." I want you to come down in a minute and I want you to pray with the prayer team and just say, "I need to know God's purpose. I had a plan, but God had a purpose." But let's pray for those that are needing salvation this morning. If everybody would just repeat after me this morning. Dear Jesus, I thank You this morning that You had a bigger plan, and a purpose for me. Jesus, you came and you died in my place so that I could be forgiven. I ask you, Jesus, forgive me of my sin. Teach me your ways. Show me your plan and your purpose for my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise this morning. You see, the Bible says when one soul comes home, that all of heaven rejoices. And I want us to rejoice with them this morning. However, I realize that this morning in this season, there may be someone here this morning and you're thinking, God, I've done everything you've asked me to do. I'm trying my best. And God, I don't understand what's going on, but I don't have to trust the plan to know that you have a purpose. And God, I want to know that purpose. If that's you and you want someone to pray with you, I want you to come down. And I'm just going to pray as you come. And just feel free to come on down right now and ask for prayer this morning. Father God, I love you and I am so thankful for your word today. And God, I pray that you will just reveal your purpose to each and every person in this room. God, as we come before you today, Lord, with our plans, we know that you have a purpose just like Jeremiah 29:11 says, I know the plans I have for you to give you a hope and a future and to not to harm you. And Father God, we come to you today and Lord, we trust your plan. We trust your purpose. And God, we ask that you would reveal that to each and every one of us. I pray for those that are here this morning, maybe they're hurting and they're saying, God, I don't understand or God, where are you in my situation? I don't know what they're facing this morning, God, but I know that you do. I know that you have the ability through your Holy Spirit to speak into their heart and into their life at this very moment. God, that you can reveal this plan and this purpose to them. And God, I'm thankful, God, that sometimes you interrupt our plans to make your purpose prevail. And God, I thank you for that today. I thank that you love us enough to not let us keep going down the same path and going down the same direction. But God, you're willing to love us enough to cause us to say, hey, turn around. I have another purpose for you. I have a better plan. I have a different way I want you to go, and this is my way. And God, you so lovingly speak that into our spirits this morning, I pray. Father, I pray for everyone here today as we go into this holiday season. Lord, there's going to be something that doesn't go as planned. But God, we know that you have a purpose. Lord, speak into our hearts and our lives today. Father, help us to know that your purpose is perfect. And God, thank you that we were your purpose this morning. Father, you loved us enough that you brought us here this morning so that we could cry out to you and we could seek your face and not your hands. But we could seek your face this morning and ask you for the purpose to be revealed in our lives. I pray right now through the Spirit, God, that you would speak into every heart and every life that's in this building right now, God, your perfect purpose and your perfect plan for their lives. Father, calm our hearts. Calm our spirits this morning. Give us that peace that only you can give. Give us that joy that comes from knowing that you are our strength. Father, we thank you, Lord, that your mercy is new every morning and your grace is more than sufficient. God, we just trust you today. I pray that each and every one of us would leave this place today with a new trust, Father, that you have a perfect purpose for us today. God, we love you. We thank you, Lord Jesus. I thank you for what you're doing in this place right now, God. Have your way. Have your way. Lord, we just release this service to you right now. And Holy Spirit, have your way. Minister to us today. In Jesus' name, hallelujah, hallelujah.